Hello, I'm James, and I've been a Seinfeld fan forever.
Hello, I'm Steve. Seinfeld passed me by, but my good time buddy assures me it's very much worth my time.
And together, we're watching the entire Seinfeld series and making our own commentary track in another Seinfeld podcast we call Hello, Newman. We can clear that up in post.
We can.
That's
indeed.
That's what they say, isn't it? I could.
And then all we have to do is just worry about, you know, the quality of what we bring to it.
Oh Christ, that's worry. I'm now thinking I could put that somewhere else. You know, I think even there's like holes for you to put it. You could put it on the wall. That might work. I don't know. I'm not good at drilling things into walls. They have a habit of falling off the walls.
Really?
Yeah.
Or the walls themselves.
And the walls fall down. That's an even worse scenario. It's all right. I'm padding because I'm trying to remember what episode it is.
What happens?
I've remembered now.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's good. So, Steve, what I'll do, I say, hello, welcome to episode 56.
56?
Of the aforementioned Hello Newman podcast where we're going to talk about Seinfeld tonight. Isn't that right, Steve?
Yeah, hello. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
That's good. That's why I've come here.
Yeah. Well, yeah, good. Well done.
Thanks.
I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to say, right from the very get-go, I'm going to say, thank you for listening. It's very nice of you. If you, at the end of this, feel like giving us some sort of rating or review on iTunes...
Sure.
That'd be great. That'd be nice. We'd appreciate that. Thank you very much. We're going to watch Seinfeld, as always, tonight. And we're going to watch it on Amazon Prime.
That's right.
I was going to say Google Play then. I don't know why. I don't even think you can... Oh, of course you can. You can get it in...
on the Play Store, maybe.
Yeah, I'm sure you could, couldn't you, if you really wanted to. I'm sure it's available to buy in many, many places. But we're going to watch it on Amazon Prime because it's there.
Yeah.
And that's a good place to watch it. So the episode we're going to watch tonight is called The Outing. It's season 4 and it's episode 16 of Seinfeld.
It is.
You ready to watch it, Steve?
Yes.
Shall we dive right in?
Shall we go on an outing?
Shall we go crazy? Yeah, let's go on an outing. I have the episode queued up at all the zeros.
Mm-hmm.
And I am going to press play right now. We've had a lot of birthdays at work.
Jerry looks like a floating head, by the way.
A little bit, yes.
With the jacket there and the curtain.
It is. Yes, of course, because it's the same colour.
That's right.
We've had a lot of birthdays at work recently. Lots of cakes.
Oh.
Happy. Although I had a bit of an argument with one guy who had a lady who performed secretarial services for the department in which he works. Her daughter made some cupcakes. And I said to him, unless he's dropped 15 quid in M&S, he's cheating.
Hmm.
So we start off with George's trying to break up with the lady. We start off with a car scene right off the top. And George is breaking someone's heart.
Really, she's quite distressed.
She is. She's really into George. Do you think the whole scenario was those sort of... I often wonder, it's like maybe the thought of George breaking up with you is so hard to bear. That you would refuse him the right to do so you could do it yourself.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
But imagine the lack of experience someone would have to feel that distraught with George breaking up with them.
I am breaking up with you. Oh, look at these.
Hey, look at these people looking for a table.
Background artist. Oh, there she is. Jahinkta Funked in the background there. She was in the... background as the cashier for every episode of Seinfeld and subsequent spin-offs. That funny framing where there's so much of the extras behind them in it, isn't that weird?
Yeah.
There's definitely no telegraph in it. He's wearing that bloody polo neck again that I hate so much.
Yeah, he's gone outside wearing that.
Mm.
I mean, in the comfort of his own home?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Got a bit brave.
But he's gone out.
Oh, look at that. It's almost like she's not going to be an extra. It's like, hey, look at this person paying attention.
I didn't mean to drop no eaves, Mr. Frodo, is what she's thinking. I quite like this discussion about ugliest world leaders. It is a genuinely funny conversation.
It is.
Gold to my ear.
It's the kind of conversation you'd have with your friends, yeah, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I guess Korea wasn't in the news, was it, back then? Because
not so much, no.
Them Jung Il boys.
I don't think the famine had started yet either, so.
They some ugly boys, aren't they? Oof. So they're being eavesdropped on, this girl's listening to them, and she's totally playing up that they're a gay couple.
Yeah.
Because
Jerry doesn't seem to want to play along.
No, George is up for it.
George is.
Yeah, with gusto.
Because he's in control of it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
he'll go along with it if he's in control of it.
Yeah, George likes a bit of fun. It's like, Jerry, more hesitant.
Oh, here's that extra, just making her way to the phone.
Yeah, she's really distracting, isn't she?
Maybe she won the camera kind of made a movement as if you should be paying attention to this person.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. She's also left the booth at the point where she's clarifying their heterosexuality as well. Usefully off. Oh.
That's Sharon.
That's the girl that Jerry's told us is going to interview him. Yikes, that's uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Where are they off to? Together.
I totally get him not recognising her.
Yes.
But Jerry's been on The Tonight Show.
Yeah.
He's a recognisable TV face at this point. Right, George's butt jumper. Naked. Oh, butt naked, the porn star is fantastic. I love that.
What is that mood?
I call it peak in spiral carpets.
Sure,
it's about the right. Well, I don't know, the bassist was completely bald at the in spiral carpets. But so he's kind of a halfway house between Clint Boone and the bassist. That's a very mad Chester top he's got on there, isn't it? Sort of very.
I would be surprised to see a little Joe Bloggs kind of thing up in the corner.
Yeah, totally. I would say it's psychedelic, but it's kind of two colours.
Yeah.
Okay, so the journalist. George is there, and the journalist is arriving. Oh. She's clocked him, isn't she? Yeah,
straight away.
Yeah.
But he hasn't clocked her.
No. No. But, yeah, but why would he? Why would he? Because he was more significant in that circumstance than she was to him. He had his back to her, whereas she was kind of looking round to see him. So I that's plausible. I get that. I'm comfortable.
So, getting straight into the interview. Didn't even offer a drink.
That is a bit rude. Not even a Snapple.
Not even a Snapple, and I bet that refrigerator is full of them.
I was really disappointed, actually, that she didn't get offered a Snapple when she came in. I don't know whether they think it would have detracted from the scenario they're going to inadvertently play out for her, because, of course, as the scene unfolds, they become more and more like a kind of overly comfortable couple, don't they? Really nicely done, though. Really subtly played out, to be fair, because it's still plausibly Jerry and George.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The potential the potential of that relationship being something more than just friends is very plausible as well at the same time. It's But this is totally how, like, you know, I don't know if you're a shipper. Are you someone who likes to ship people? Which is where you imagine them being, like, romantically linked, I believe.
Oh, right, okay.
I think
not a hobby of mine, no.
I think if you ship Jerry and George, this is kind of how I'd see that relationship playing out. Like, they're into their roles, aren't they, quite nicely. Oh, they're so in love. So in love.
But Jerry's suspicious, but George doesn't see it.
Yeah. Yeah, Jerry's trying to put it together, isn't he? It's the penny's dropping. Oh, there it is.
Yep.
Yeah, it's dropped.
And there goes George.
Yeah. Full. Gay. Panic. Am I using that phrase correctly? I don't think I am, am I?
Hmm?
I don't think I'm using the phrase gay panic correctly. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. Added, after the initial script, because the script was written because people used to think that Jerry Seinfeld was gay because he was tall and neat and single.
Genuinely,
yeah. Wow. Well, I mean, amongst other races, hey. You know. Kramer.
Perfect time to add to the anxiety.
Offer a naked steam. But not that there's anything wrong with that, which runs and runs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that Elaine's cool jacket makes its first appearance. I love that jacket.
So does she.
Yeah, Baggy Parker. But
he was a jazz player.
He was, yeah. Yeah, it was added to make it seem less harsh. So, you know, because it seemed like they're being
watch
very...
Watch Elaine, looking for a mark on the floor.
Good job she found it.
Yeah.
I didn't clock that. Look at that perfectly wrapped TV present.
It is a TV present, isn't it?
Very much so, yeah.
It's the kind of thing that's wrapped to be easily opened, unlike any other present that anyone wraps ever.
So completely out of character for Kramer as well.
Maybe it was pre-wrapped.
Maybe he got it. Maybe he got it gift wrapped,
or he stole it from someone else.
Yeah.
Beat Elaine to it.
Oh, I look, because it's Jerry's birthday. Elaine's already told us earlier in the episode that she's getting a two-way phone for Jerry. But Kramer's bought him a two-line phone already.
Two-line phone.
Yeah, two-line phone. A white landline telephone.
It matches the rest of his desk very nicely.
It does. Yeah, his steam-powered Apple that he still hasn't. That's changed.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what, 4 seasons old now?
It is, yeah.
What a...
It's about time for an upgrade, Jerry.
It is about time for an upgrade. Look at the size of that screen. Oh, the phone's working.
Yeah, I just called Kramer next door to test it out. That's nice.
Yeah. All of a sudden, Jerry's phone becomes incredibly busy.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Sharon. She's the journalist. Much to Jerry's relief. She's canning. I clean that up. Canning the article. I love this.
Do you know what really impresses me about this as well is that Jerry knows how to operate that phone.
Immediately.
Straight away.
Yeah, but what man hasn't taken a piece of equipment out of a box and immediately known how it works without referring to the manual? Oh dear. Could there be something...
Nice.
Jerry jokingly and accidentally has reaffirmed the not that there's anything wrong with that kind of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Oh dear. Brilliant. Because of course Kramer's bought him a shonky phone.
Of course.
It's probably from Joe Sacramento.
It's so nicely done.
Oh, beautifully done. But actually, in terms of telephone scenes, they've had an incredible number of people on the end of that phone in a relatively short space of time. I would have loved to have seen that shot, because I assume they're just off camera.
Yeah.
Doing their piece. But it's beautifully done. So here we are, early 90s dorm room. Is that popcorn maker? Books.
We're not in here very long, really, to take in the details. Bang, that's it.
Yeah, but I love that she's a journalism student. And how do we know she's a journalism student? Because she has a poster of Jupiter on her bedroom wall. She's a student. Of course she'll have a planet on her wall. She'd have a picture of the Pulitzer Prize, wouldn't she?
Or just some newspapers and frames.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost like this not taking the coat off with Elaine.
It's going to be a thing.
Yeah, it's becoming a repetitive behaviour. These guys in their coats.
It's the kind of thing that could have been useful to her while she was pregnant.
Yeah, do you know, the first thing I thought when I saw the coat, I thought, oh, is she pregnant again at this point? No, I don't believe that was it. He's bought him, so for Jerry's birthday, George has just bought him two tickets to a lavish Broadway musical.
Indeed, which at the beginning of the episode seemed rather inconsequential.
Yeah. But now seems like the sort of thing, you know, one of the euphemisms, certainly back then, you know, if you're a gay person, if you like show tunes or, I don't know, female singing artists, for example, like Bette Midler. I was always fascinated by the American style long CD collection case. You very rarely saw them in the UK.
Not so often, though.
No, but saw those a lot on the American telly. So a lot going on with background artists in this episode, isn't there?
Yes,
because we've got some shuffling and a looking.
That's right. There they are.
With these two guys that look like a modern day version of Mr. Win and Mr. Kid from Diamonds Are Forever, if you ask me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I keep thinking they're going to put a scorpion down the back of Jerry's shirt.
I was going to suggest they were like some kind of Lower East Side Gilbert and George.
Oh, Gilbert and George are taking the piss, aren't they?
Yeah.
Oh no! Oh, the Associated Press have picked up the story about Jerry being brilliant. Not that there's anything wrong with that. People's personal sexual preference is nobody's business but their own.
Exactly.
The amount I've been of time, outed.
I wasn't even in.
The amount of times I've quoted that over the years. So many times. Seems like quite a charmingly written piece, actually.
Yes.
Oh, this is brilliant. Kramer's reaction to the news. The betrayal he's feeling at the moment because they haven't told him they were gay. Because it's in the newspaper, Steve. It's got to be true.
Correct.
Oh, bless him. Oh. There we go. Thin, yeah. 30, single. Oh! And so begins the start of a missed opportunity. Oh, dear.
It's Helen.
Yeah. So, of course, George has picked the phone up to Jerry's mum because she's just read the article.
It's the New York Post. People get it everywhere.
Absolutely. Well, it's on
a... Oh!
It's on AP, mate. It's been syndicated. It'll be in newspapers across the country. I love that we get to see them both.
Yes.
Just for one scene, and we get a set and everything.
All these sets they built just for this.
I love the plastic chilies and peppers. Giant pepper grinder. It's quite the kitchen. Brilliant. Oh.
Now, this was a very pleasant surprise.
This is outrageously brilliant.
Yeah.
Because, so, we're back with his mum, George's mum, in the hospital where we were a few episodes ago, and there was a silhouette of the woman being bed-bathed. And so, this scene becomes self-referential.
Mm-hmm.
But also works purely in the context of the episode.
Yes, yes,
which
that's
is
true.
It's a really lovely piece of writing here, I think.
Going back to his porn name.
Yeah, he's a porn star. It's a good name. Not that there's anything wrong with that. What a handsome male nurse. Oh, it's time for Scott's sponge bath. Brilliant. Oh, it's perfect, isn't it? Poor old
isn't it almost
George.
Line for line as well?
Yeah, absolutely. It feels like George kind of is, maybe, you know,
He's questioning it, isn't he?
That's the panic in George, is that, am I? Well, I might be. Oh, what do I do? what a shocking realisation I've made. So we're back at Monk's.
Yes.
And Jerry exposizes at us that the journalist has been back in touch. Oh, this is beautiful.
Oh, God.
It's so beautiful. Of course a soldier has been convinced to come out because Jerry's been outed by accident. Beautiful. Of course. Of course, Jerry has heroically inspired a member of America's beloved armed forces. Jerry's a liberal hero. Oh, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Funny how quickly people have started to change how they act with them. Yeah. He doesn't want gay men arguing in his restaurant, does he?
He doesn't know. Oh, let's just focus on that earring, shall we?
Yeah.
There we go.
He's kind just of...
to drive that home.
That he's got an earring.
Mm-hmm. And what that means.
Well, do you think that's what that signal is?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Because it makes him seem like less of an arse, doesn't it?
Yes.
Because otherwise he just comes across as homophobic, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're right. Well, I was never entirely sure. I'm afraid I thought he was a homophobe. But you're
quite
right.
The opposite.
You're right. Yeah, no, he's enjoying it too much. So George has now realised he can use this as leverage to get out of that tricky relationship he found himself in at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah.
It's all coming together, Steve.
Well, it's kind of an evil plan.
I'm sure.
But Alison doesn't get it.
No.
She's read it. She doesn't get it.
Well,
I guess it's written in such a way where it's not completely obvious.
Yeah. Or plausible.
Mm.
I mean, because she knows George. Steeped in gayness, Steve.
He's a very, very gay man.
Yeah. George. Steeped in gayness. Of course she wants to hear it from Jerry, and I'm sure Jerry's not doing anything. I'm sure he's free to take their... Oh, hello!
So here's a man in his late 30s and a woman who's in her early 20s.
If that. I mean,
it should be early 20s, actually.
It's plausible she could be 18, 19.
Yeah.
You look concerned, Steve.
Yeah. I do find myself slightly uncomfortable by the potential age gap.
She's almost certainly no more than about 22, 23.
Hmm.
At this point, and yeah, you're right, he's about your age, Steve, not wanting to give anything away.
Yeah.
Oh, look how well they George and his date coordinate.
Yeah,
I do like his orange jacket he wears. It's very off the time, though. It'll probably be fashionable again soon. Oh, bless him. I love that George can clearly see what's going on for Jerry.
Yeah.
But the sociopath in George just won't let it go, will it?
No.
No.
He wouldn't let it lie.
He wouldn't let it lie. He could have let it lie, but he wouldn't let it lie. So he's just weirded the journalist out now this time. I think she's probably twigged there's nothing like that going on.
Yes.
Hmm.
Okay.
Oh, his name's Butt Naked and he's a porn star.
Oh, she likes that.
Yeah,
too.
She's totally turned on. Now, here we are. Here's Kramer. And Kramer's friend.
Yeah, hello.
Right, this point, perfect. Absolutely perfect. Why? I like to think that he's not.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah, but that... We can talk about this in a minute. But they could have said it. They could have just looked at each other and said, not that there's anything wrong with that.
Mm.
He didn't need to cap it. I think it's more perfect.
Okay.
If Kramer sleeps with a man. Because of course he does.
Kramer would do anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there wouldn't be anything wrong with anything he ever did.
Yeah, but it would have been, modern word, more progressive.
True. And speaking of that, do you think that this bit of stand-up at the end is sort of... in there kind of deliberately, just in case anybody didn't get that it was kind of satirical, kind of the rest of the stuff that they were doing. Here's some stand-up of Jerry going, oh, you know, we're all modern and da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
Just to put that in, just in case anyone was thinking that the rest of the episode was, you know, taking the piss.
Yes. Probably. I know that there was a little bit of concern. There was genuine concern at the time that it might be seen as offensive by the gay community.
Mm-hmm.
I think originally that the phrase, not there's anything wrong with it, wasn't included in the script, and it was included because their reaction seemed very harsh without them clarifying how they really felt. I personally still feel like I don't think I'd have found the characters homophobic if they just didn't want to be identified as being gay.
Yes.
I totally understand where they'd be coming from, but it was added. And, you know, maybe it's a good thing. Well, anyway, Steve.
Well, and they did it the right way.
Yes,
right?
They did.
Because instead of just having them say it once, it becomes the episode's catchphrase.
Yes, the hook, isn't it?
It gets laid in time and time and time again to the point where it's clearly used satirically.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I like the fact that not that there's anything wrong with that, becomes a bit more heightened and a bit more hysterical each time it's used.
Yes.
Apart from that final time, and I think that wrap up could be more perfect if he doesn't come back in and go, oh, he's just a plumber, whatever it is.
A plumber.
Yeah. He's come to look at my plumbing.
Yes, that's
Steve,
right. I've come to fix your radiator.
That's enough of my criticising an episode of Seinfeld.
Although I feel like you have more to say about it.
What did you... More to say, have you? what did you think of the outing?
Where do I start? Let's just deal with the pink elephant in the room, shall we? It is an episode where I think we actually move beyond the usual gay panic. It's very quickly moved beyond that and into just Jerry and George trying to undo the things that were already done earlier. It becomes more about that.
It's about crisis management.
Yes, and it's about people misunderstanding, you know, things for this potential of them both being in love with each other as a couple. And I got the feeling from the beginning, I'm like, oh, okay, there's going to be some kind of implication going on. And I did wonder whether it was just going to turn into the kind of gay panic we've seen from George before, where it's kind of funny, but it's also one note and it wouldn't necessarily sustain. But of course, you know, this is Seinfeld. Things get written a little bit smarter than that. And you get to, you know, and the one thing that I didn't really think about or see coming is what happens here, where they go, okay, well, we've got this idea now, and it's in the paper. Let's see how everybody reacts to that, and then how Jerry and George have to react to that reaction.
Yep.
And that was very good.
Good escalation
very good escalation. Really, really very nice and good escalation. you know, how does Kramer react? He comes in and he's hurt, and you don't really see that coming, but it also rings true, and that's funny.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get Jerry's parents and we get George's mum, and that's all funny. Mm. But it's what it is it's incredibly good natured, I think.
Yes.
It's not looking at you know, at what could happen in an episode like this in the hands of a poorer writer.
Mm-hmm.
Is that you actually put them in very camp situations and watch them squirm, which is incredibly cruel, and it would actually, you know, I mean, not cruel in terms of the characters of Jerry and George, but cruel in terms of a whole group of people that you're referencing to.
Yes.
You know, and you'd have just been leaning very heavily on poor stereotypes. Yep. And that's not what this episode is about at all. And in fact, the people who I would suggest, you know, some are more obvious than others, but the people who I would suggest are gay characters in this episode are just people.
Very much so.
They're just people.
Yeah, there's no... there are several gay characters. None of them are camp. The soldier is a really interesting choice.
Very.
Could there be a more stereotypical example of American masculinity than a soldier?
Mm.
But, you know, Jerry's given the soldier the real courage he needs in his life. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting choice.
Very interesting choice. And, I mean, again, when you think about the time as well of this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is, what, 93 now?
Yeah.
We're not that far, correct me if I'm wrong, because my memory might be a bit hazy here. We're not that far away in terms of after from Kuwait and Iraq and all of that stuff.
Absolutely.
So in terms of how America felt about its troops.
Oh, very, very keen on them.
Super keen. Peachy keen, perhaps.
Yeah, I'd say they were for them.
Yes. Because these colours don't run.
No.
As
long as you wash below 60.
Indeed. And use a colour catcher. Why not treat yourself? That, you know, in terms of the timing as well, that's in my mind, that's even more pointed.
Yeah.
You know, in what would ordinarily be, you know, the height of American masculinity.
Yeah.
You know, and the courage of our troops to blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And we're talking about the real courage of accepting who you are, even if that means... am I overanalyzing this? I don't think so. You know, this is the kind of thing that I think the key writing crew, whether it be Larry David or Larry Charles who wrote this, would go for. Absolutely would go for.
I think, yeah, but also being visibly pro, I'd say human rights, but being a supporter of like the gay community was a certain political stance in the early 90s. You know, although it feels like we're living in a very liberal world at the moment, things were socially more liberal maybe than we were even back then. So, you know, Larry Charles, it feels like it's possibly the funny choice, first and foremost, but also you can't help but feel it's a political choice as well.
Yeah, I feel that way about it. Yeah, so I think that kind of deals with that aspect of
it.
Yes. Very, very nicely done.
Very nicely and well done.
It's, I mean, in that respect, very well crafted. We've gone over the not that there's anything wrong with that line. I think that was done very, very well indeed.
Brilliant.
And the audience seems to have got that too.
Totally.
Which is, you know, rewarding. And also, if we look at it just in terms of how Seinfeld delivers gags, especially with the setup and the payoff, this is a great one for that as well. Again, things that don't necessarily seem like a big deal, two-line phone, the birthday gifts, things like this, all intertwine into kind of this angst that we get throughout the episode.
That scene with the two-line phone is hilarious and really, really well executed.
Yes.
Really like that.
Needs that pace. Yes. Otherwise it doesn't work. But there's that pace and that panic. Yeah. And that, yeah, that's all great. And of course, we discussed it at the time, but a real pleasure to visit Estelle back in the hospital.
Absolutely. That's so...
As you were saying, it works in isolation.
Yeah.
But it extra double time works when you know what it's referencing.
Absolutely.
And it takes something and it turns it.
Yeah, you get a two-level laugh. God, I love a double-decker laugh.
A double-decker laugh.
Yeah.
I like that.
Mm.
Put that in your journal, kids.
Yeah.
So,
You okay, Steve?
Yeah, I like it.
It's good, isn't it?
I like this episode. Yeah. I would say this is, you know, comfortably above average.
Oh, yes.
I really admire its writing, and I admire how it handled its subject matter. It's not going to be the most gut-busting episode of the season, but, you know, I look on this favourably.
It's Seinfeld superior. Yeah, which pleases me after recent disappointments for you, Steve.
This is true.
I'm pleased you like the outing. I love the outing. As I say, the phrase "not there's anything wrong with that" entered my lexicon a long time ago. I enjoy using it a great deal, especially when people have no idea what I'm talking about and they're talking awkwardly about LGBT individuals. Very much like rocking that out to to cause them more discomfort and bamboozlement, because that's the kind of guy I am. I'm not a good person, Steve. Not a good person at all.
I can vouch for that.
I love that episode. It is brilliant. Cracks on at a great pace. Perfectly written. Lovely, lovely, lovely. Lovely.
Lovely.
Okay, Steve, more to say, have you?
No, I'm done, thank you.
Yeah, I think I am too. I think we've said all we needed to say.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not there's anything wrong with that. We often talk off mic about Steve can tell how into an episode I am as to how diamond focused I am on the episode, or am I just rambling about stuff. You might notice that too, listener, possibly. I think I was quite into the episode on this occasion.
Yeah.
To the point where I didn't really want to talk very much at the beginning of the episode, because I just wanted to watch.
Just wanted to get into it.
I just wanted to watch this episode of Seinfeld. If you were going to make the perfect Seinfeld season, this would definitely be in it. So, you know, 22 are the best.
Maybe, that's a good idea, isn't it?
Maybe when we've done them all, we do the best Seinfeld season.
Cool.
I'll make a note of that somewhere.
That's a good plan.
Yeah, we should do that. That'll be our final episode, maybe. You heard it here first, so that's exciting. Thank you for listening with us. I hope you've had an opportunity to watch it, because it is brilliant. But then Seinfeld's brilliant. So thank you for listening. We hope you take an opportunity to listen to us again. If not, you know, no hard feelings. We're part of the ways, and say no more about it. But until we do meet again, goodbye.
Buck naked.
I didn't think you'd go for that. That's brilliant. Well done.